We'll do a meditation on motivation. So, okay, once again, pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. And now reflect, why are you doing these practices? Why are you putting this time into this? And answer that for yourself, and then I'll make some suggestions. Now really feel into this, get the felt sense of it. Now I'll suggest that the reason why you're doing these practices and putting in all this time and effort is so that you become happy and wise. And so now imagine that outcome. What does that look like for you? Really develop that scene. There's serenity, ease, kind of quality of fluency, confidence, competence. And now also notice how when you're happy and wise, at ease, etc., that just naturally the mind inclines in such a way to be pro-social, to be concerned with others. It's like you have all your needs met, so you're not selling from an empty barrel, so to speak. And so now see that. See yourself interacting with others from this place of security, this place of fullness, happiness, and wisdom. There's this quality of receptivity and responsiveness to others. And then others are responsive and receptive towards you. Really noticing this. Also, there's this collaboration and cooperation. You see yourselves working towards shared goals. And these goals are to be happy and wise on your end and for them as well. And now notice how that there's just no internal friction. There's no cognitive dissonance. Now really get a sense for this. What does this feel like in the body and in the mind to go through life this way? Now just reflect, now this is why you're practicing. Get a really clear sense for that. make an impression of that. Okay, good. Now wrapping that up. All right, so I'm going to do a very brief presentation, and then, so just to kind of reinforce what we'll be covering today, because the meditation today is going to be a little bit different. So here we go. I hope to cover this in less than 5 minutes. Oops, no, that's not what we want. That's what we want. Okay, hopefully you can all see that. You see that? Thumbs up on that? Okay, good. All right, so what we're going to do is, this is going to be a reparenting meditation. And then the first half of the meditation, we're going to come into a child mode, either like an angry child, vulnerable child, lonely child mode. And then we're going to be reparented around that. And particularly we're going to identify a schema that we want to work on, and we'll go through the list of schemas here in a minute. And then the way that the internal parents will respond to us is primarily is captured in the word compassion. Captured in the word compassion. And then they're going to help us work through these kind of negative felt beliefs that are the schemas. And then the second half, we're going to kind of work on like cultivating positive traits. And then the way that the parents are principally going to interact with us is through sympathetic joy. So mudita, this quality of rejoicing in your good qualities. And then let me just step back and define compassion and sympathetic joy. So both are love. That's the thing to remember. Compassion is what love does when it sees suffering. And then sympathetic joy is what love does when it sees good qualities in others. That's it. So pretty much you can think of the first half or maybe two-thirds of the meditation is going to be receiving compassion. And then the second half is going to be more about sympathetic joy. And then the kind of child modes that we're going to inhabit are going to be the happy child, social child, creative child. And you'll kind of pick which one of those you're going to work on. And then we're going to also see this kind of cultivation, these mental states be projected into our adult life. And then here we're going to focus on these three healthy adult modes. So healthy adult mode, social adult, confident adult. And then just kind of reiterating like the postures of the inner parents towards us. So one way to think about it is that they're always attentive. And attentive means kind of a narrow attention, like following what's happening. Also, there's this quality of awareness. And then awareness means that they're kind of like, they've got this quality of broadness and receptivity. Also, there's a quality of equanimity, or they're equanimous. What does that mean? This also touches into receptivity. And it's that, like, however you present, they're open to that. And there's just this quality of openness, receptivity. Also, there's wisdom. And you're in the meditation, you're going to feel their wisdom. You're going to see how that they view things from a broader perspective, and that'll help you feel into your own wisdom and develop it. And then there's a confidence in you, and of course also in themselves. And then in a sense, the two moods that we're going to go through of these inner parents is more of a compassionate mood and a sympathetic, joyous type mood. And again, the first half is going to be more compassion, second half, more sympathetic joy. That's basically it for lecture. Let's just go over. So now, just pause for a moment. Now I'm going to click over to a screen where we have a list of the schemas. You know, the schemas are developed by Jeffrey Young and colleagues, schema therapy. Anyhow, so what you're going to do is you're going to look at this list and you're going to pick one of those to work on in the first half of the meditation. Okay, so here are the schemas. So I think generally the first five tend to be really, really good to work on. They're like the most core. But then also the next set of four can be pretty good as well. So look at these. And I think most of them are pretty self-explanatory. So abandonment, instability, mistrust and abuse. Emotional deprivation, I think, is probably the single most common schema. And in terms of just the name, it's the least intuitive and descriptive, in my opinion. So like that's worth actually reading the definition on. So expectation that one's desire for a normal degree of emotional support will not be adequately met by others. The three major forms of deprivation are deprivation of nurturance, so the absence of attention, affection, and warmth, compassion, companionship, deprivation of empathy, absence of understanding, listening, self-disclosure, or mutual sharing of feelings from others, deprivation of protection, absence of strength, direction, or guidance from others. And then these next few are, again, quite self-explanatory. Defectiveness, shame, this is a good one to work on. Social isolation, alienation, also very good. This next set of four schemas are like preoccupied schemas. You see them in people with preoccupied attachment. Okay, dependence, incompetence, vulnerability to harm or illness, enmeshment, underdeveloped self, or failure to achieve. Okay, great. So now we're done with lecture and we'll start with meditation. And then also, if you didn't like catch all that, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be reiterated. So just roll with it. All right. Okay, so sitting up straight, pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. And so we're going to start with some deep breathing, and then we'll do a body scan. Okay, so now inhale very, very deeply, and then retain the breath below the navel. So inhale very deep. Retain. Exhale, extending the length of the exhale. Now inhale once again, very, very deeply, and then retain the breath. So retaining the breath below the navel. Exhale, extending out the exhale. Now inhale again, very, very deeply. Retain the breath below the navel. Start extending the exhale. Good. And now already notice all the relaxation and settledness. Good. Now we're going to do a body scan. This will help us really feel the meditation and then take it in and have it imprint deeply. So go ahead and feel the feet, legs, and hips. And the feet, legs, and hips all relax on their own without your doing anything. And now notice the abdomen rising and falling. And now see how that's all happening on its own. You're not straining. There's just this very light quality of observing. And now feeling the chest expand and contract. And now bring the attention to the upper back and shoulders. So we often hold tension in this area. So you can either let that go at this point, or if you can't, then just accept that. Make peace with that there's some tension being held. It's totally okay. Okay, now feel the arms and hands. And now feel the head, neck, and face. And now take a deep, deep breath and feel the whole body all at once. And now exhale, feeling the whole body release. Kind of dissolve. Okay, good. So now I'll remind you of some of the schemas. And pick one where there's kind of some heat for you, where there's some triggering. And then we're going to work on this. So, okay, here's a partial list. So, defectiveness and shame, emotional deprivation, social isolation, fear of abandonment, mistrust and abuse, also dependence and incompetence, vulnerability to harm or illness, enmeshment or an underdeveloped sense of self, failure to achieve. So go ahead and pick one of those. And then now touch into some image thoughts, some auditory thoughts that would trigger the schema for you. So likely that's going to be in your real adult life. And now, kind of come into your inner child, bring up the inner child, and have the inner child experience this schema. There might be more of a flavor of a vulnerable child, angry child, lonely child. And now open up or encourage that a memory arise. This can be a real memory of some sort of situation that happened that was similar, that where you felt triggered in a similar way. And now also, if it's actual trauma, do not go into the trauma or abuse itself. Just go in afterwards where you're dealing with the emotions. Do not go into the actual abuse. That's option one. And then option two is, if you don't have any specific memory, you can make a composite memory, like a would-be memory, where you'd be triggered in a similar way. So now really feel what this is like. Really let yourself be very triggered. Good. And now bring up internal parents. And these internal parents are especially compassionate. And compassion here means a complete and utter receptivity, total responsiveness. A complete recognition of your legitimate suffering and a wish, a desire, and action to help that suffering diminish and go away. So now go ahead and develop that scene. I'll check in with you in just a minute. And also notice how this compassion, this receptivity and responsiveness knows no bounds. Totally broad and accepting, totally open. That's right. Keep going. And now also notice the wisdom and understanding of these internal parents, that they understand your experience and help you understand it as well and get organized around what all happened. And it's also very clear to them it's not your fault that this created suffering, and that they're with you to help you work through it in this completely compassionate, receptive, and responsive way. Now also notice how they're so attentive. They really understand what's happening. Their attention never wavers. And there's also this quality of faith. They're totally confident that you're going to work through this. And it's also so obvious that they're competent as well. Competent and confident. They're right there with you, helping you work through it. That's right. Keep going. So responsive and receptive. That's right. That's right, keep going. And really noticing the total responsiveness. They know just how to respond to you. That's right. Keep going. And now also notice their wisdom and how they help you make sense of all of this. How they help you understand the causal nature of this conditioning. And to see how it's fundamentally impersonal. It's not your fault. And now notice how they really see that. And that helps you see that. And now there might be a lightness and a feeling of unburdening yourself. That's right. Keep going. Keep developing the scene. And now, these inner parents are going to further help you understand the situation. So now you and the inner parents kind of float back to the scene that brought about the problematic conditioning. And again, don't bring up actually any trauma or actual abuse. And now the inner parents are actually going to confront the situation or the person that was unkind to you, that brought about this difficult conditioning. And just let them know in a calm and compassionate way, but firm, like, this is not okay. You didn't deserve this treatment. That better provisions should have been made. And now, have this person that was not kind to you, that brought about this negative conditioning, actually acknowledge what happened. So they're kind of on the outside of the scene. You and your inner parents are kind of on the inside, but they're on the periphery and they acknowledge. Like, yeah, I see that this was a problem. This was due to my own ignorance, due to problematic conditioning and stress in my own life. And I'm sorry. This was unfortunate. I regret this. And I understand how this caused suffering. So they say something along those lines to you, but you're kind of being held by, supported by the inner parents. And also, you're totally safe with the inner parents. And so then, now the inner parents further reinforce, yeah, this was not right. This is not your fault. You're blameless in this regard. That's right. And now you can kind of go back just with the inner parents. Now they respond to you in just the right way. So receptive. And help you further work through this. And also this quality of love and actual enjoyment on their part, on their end, is very clear. They're so happy to support you in this way. And now really start coming into a sense of closure around this, of perspective taking. Notice how you have a different view on these experiences that you had. And now notice how this imprints deeply on you. And you can see how you'll be free of this going forward. And so now, imagine life going forward without this negative schema that you worked on, this maladaptive schema. And see life unfold in this new way with all these potentials and possibilities. And now have your inner parents support you. And there can be other people in the scene that are supportive. And now notice this quality of sympathetic joy that your inner parents find you to be such a joy and celebrate. Kind of celebrate you generally, but especially celebrate your good qualities, your character strengths, also your diligence, your investigation of your own mental states. So have them do that, but also have others in your real adult life going forward do the same thing. That they rejoice, that they see your good qualities, see your character strengths, and also that they cooperate with you, that they're responsive. Go ahead and develop that scene now. Notice how when you get this level of support, that the inclination to be social, cooperative, collaborative, creative, confident, all arise for you. Develop a scene where those qualities are coming to the fore and are prominent. That's right. Keep developing the scene. And now also see this quality of wisdom and understanding, discernment. On your part. See how the world, you understand the world better. You understand interpersonal relations better. That the mind is very clear and sharp. You understand your own mental states, the mental states of others. How the kind of causal effects that people interacting brings about, like so how one person's thoughts or moods, words, etc., behaviors affect another. And also get this sense of perspective taking, seeing the larger context. And now notice how a natural confidence arises out of that. It's so clear you can move through your life in a way to go about getting the things that you desire, that you view as personally meaningful. Keep developing that scene. That's right, keep going. And really feel this in the body and in the mind. Feeling how this imprints deeply. And now, we'll go ahead and dissolve that scene. And now, go back to this schema that you worked on. This source of upset, this kind of maladaptive thought, felt thought. And now, recognize how common this is. So many others have the same difficulty, have the same problematic conditioning. And now on the in-breath, reflect on their suffering. And on the out-breath, wish them well. You know, send them the aspiration of relief. And now also notice how you understand the suffering. You've been through it. You've experienced it quite fully. And you also see how unnecessary it is. And there's this sense of understanding others, the mental states of others, and also of being understood yourself. And then this shared human experience around us. Really noticing this sense of camaraderie. And open-heartedness. And now also reflecting how this is common to others. See how this is totally impersonal. It's not personal to you. You can't possibly be to blame. And also, no one else could be blameworthy either. You see that now. Okay, good. So we'll start wrapping up the meditation. But before we do, look back on this. What was this like? What did you learn? And now notice how there's a sense of competence and confidence from having learned these lessons, from having seen all this. You feel like you have a greater sense of agency and choice in your life. You're more so the master of your own destiny because you have these tools now and you've had these insights. Really get a clear sense for that now. Good. And now wrapping up the meditation. So now just bring your attention to the rising and falling of the abdomen. Now start gently opening the eyes halfway. And now all the way. And now letting go of the meditation. Okay, good. That's it. All right, so I can hang around and we can take some questions and practice reports. But I need to run to the restroom. So let's take like a 3-minute break. And for anybody that wants to hang out extra, they can. So we'll be back in 3 minutes. And so at 59 minutes past the hour, we'll start again. And we'll go for like maybe 10 or 20 minutes. Okay. Anything come up for people they want to, report on or ask about? And yeah, practice reports are great. Just go ahead and speak up if you.
Hi, Cedric.
Hey.
So for me, the schemas and choosing the schema, I had trouble choosing, and I'm not sure if it's because I was in my anxious mind, not my body so much,
Yeah.
but it eventually kind of just settled into like a combo of two of them. I thought,
Yeah.
okay.
That's perfectly fine. Yep. I mean, it's really not even necessary to go through that step. You just like, what's the trigger in your life right now? Like, what are you kind of, what's, it's just that the schema is kind of can just help trigger. They're just help you get triggered.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other questions or reports? How'd it go? And I'm just also, was there like some part of the meditation that maybe wasn't a good fit that seemed a little bit weird? I wouldn't mind hearing about that either. Because like some of this is a little bit new.
I liked it. I thought, I mean, it was interesting. I had a very powerful experience during that. So it was very, very helpful. But then something different happened. And it might be because I'm a little distracted about something else this morning, too. But there was this moment where I had found it really hard to stay in my chair. Like I wanted to like go move or go do yoga or go like I felt like. And then you said something like you might feel this energy to explore, be creative, or that moment where I was like, it was very difficult for me to stay in my chair. And so there was something going on that was new, where I was like wanting to integrate something somehow. And then, but then my mind just went like it just like went way out after that, and I got very distracted. And then I came back when you said like to connect to other people who may have had this experience, or, were common experience. So that brought me back. But it was interesting how I wanted to take it into movement, and then when I didn't take it into movement, my mind just got very distracted. So, but yeah, but I thought I really liked the way that it was today.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thank you. And then like I think that there are some kind of insightful comments to be made about some of your reports. I just don't know if I'm equipped to make them. But like also I think, one thing that comes up for me is like, they're just the mind just kind of goes, or the brain goes through these cycles of kind of where it gets more anxious and less. And this is just like a normal thing. And then so this is like more of like a general comment about meditation is that like we kind of have this preconceived notion that meditation is going to be really focused, really like just like perfect and crisp, because that's the caricature of it, right? But it's actually really messy, just like the rest of life. So I just want to, kind of normalize your experience in that regard.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, do you ever, does anyone, is it, what would it have been okay for me to get up and move around at that point if I was
Interesting.
back?
It's interesting, and I don't know if anybody has knows anything about somatic experiencing on the call, and if they do, they can speak up. I really don't know anything about it. Yeah, but so there's a part of me that thinks I don't, like, and this is an incomplete thought, but I think that there can be value to that, right? And I don't really know how to like bring it in correctly. You know what I'm saying? But like I kind of get this intuitive sense that like, kind of like, because you know how it is like when you have certain experiences, the body wants to respond to it. And so it's a kind of a very vague response, but I think you get what I'm saying.
I had a car accident that influenced the use of my right leg, and so when then I that was sort of what was I was working on. After that, when I got all this energy, it was like my right leg was just like really gone.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I
anything?
might try to speak to that Although yeah. I don't know that much about somatic experiencing, but that seems like part of the process. Yeah. And my intuitive notion would be that getting up and doing stuff is good, and it's part of the therapy. Yep. Because according to somatic experiencing, trauma involves a great deal of immobility. Uh-huh. And the inability, like trauma is not just about being in danger, but also being in a position where you can't deal with the danger. You can't yeah. fight back, or you can't flee, or that kind of thing. And so when the body wants to get up, or like yeah. fight, or shake it out, or just, yeah. you know, just get into this position where you want to defend yourself, that kind of thing, that's basically right. the body completing this impulse,
right,
and taking agency back. And like I'm also not, like, my confidence in this is not very high. I'm not that well versed uh-huh. in the technique, but like on a large scale, this is how the process works. Yep. That basically you're getting back into this memory of, like, you know, being immobile and being helpless, so to speak, and then inserting your mm-hmm. new agency and your power mm-hmm. and your fight or flight response into that memory.
Yeah.
So it gets resolved.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And, you know, also the thing that's coming up is, like, it's like also, I think so much of this is, like, also about, like, kind of like a feedback response from the body itself. It's like you see, okay, I can move, I can take the next step. And then, like, the level of the level of the mind that's convinced by that is, like, a deeper level than just, like, thinking it, you know, thinking it through. But yeah, so, yeah, makes sense. Okay, cool. Any other comments before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I'd like to say uh-huh. a couple of words around sure. the yeah, the body stuff. That was really interesting. Thank you for the sharing. Yeah, I've had some body work before with a Rolfing, a body uh-huh. therapist, and sometimes I then get, like, the impulse to want to kind of move and sort of adjust into this new found kind of health in my body. Uh-huh. And he always encourages that. It's almost like a kind of similar to the way, like, a cat stretches. It's like uh-huh. a stretch, but it's like the muscles are engaged. Mm-hmm. And there's even a name to it that I can't remember. And yeah, I think so the way I experience that is that, you know, maybe there's a newfound freedom somewhere where maybe I had either an injury or, you know, I don't know, but some kind of bodily stuckness that's mm-hmm. been stuck for a while, and it becomes unstuck, and then my whole, you know, all the other muscles around it suddenly have the invitation to have a new relationship with that part. So I need to kind of move to kind of integrate that newfound yeah. freedom throughout the rest of the body.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah, cool. All righty, you guys. Or is there another comment or two that people want to make? Happy to take it. Okay, cool. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you all for coming. And, you know, we're going to keep going with the Saturday meditations. And then we're also doing the book club. If anybody wants to join, we're doing, I bet you know, you remember the name of the book. I
can't remember. Unlocking the Emotional Brain.
Yeah, there you go. Unlocking the Emotional Brain for a second.
There's a link in the Slack.
Yep. So yeah, if anybody wants to join in for that, that's on Fridays at 9 a.m. And you can find the information on attachmentrepair.com. All righty. Okay. See y'all.